Welcome back. You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Issa Martel. Today is Rabbi Athani, the 26th, in the year 1442, which corresponds to December 11th, 2020. It's Friday. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. So I was at work, and someone left this newspaper on a seat, and the newspaper happens to be The Final Call. So The Final Call is the newspaper printed by the Nation of Islam. It's like their, I guess their official newspaper. I don't know how often it comes out. But this one was dated from a while ago, actually, from its volume 38, number 37, which is dated June 16th, 2019. So, in this one, this was a write-up of when Louis Farrakhan and his little crew of people went to Mecca. And I remember when this happened because it just thought it was another farce that the Nation of Islam does. They went during Ramadan that year. So they did Umrah during Ramadan, which Islamically counts as a Hajj for you. But the write-up they did, this is in pretty nice write-up. I gotta give it them, right? It's a decent write-up. Whoever did their photography was nice. I would expect it because I'm assuming all this is a lot of money that these dudes rake in. Let me just try to move some of this so I have more room here. So 17 of them, I guess they had a delegation of 17 people that went there. And if I read it correctly, or they proclaim anyway that they were invited by the government of Saudi Arabia, which to me is weird, right? Like, why? I'll get into this but later, but it's like, why does the government of Saudi Arabia cater to the Nation of Islam and like invite them as if they are one with the Muslims when they're not? This is just unfortunately sad reality. And I'm not saying that the people who are in the Nation of Islam, like the lay people, aren't Muslims. I mean, they might pray. They certainly proclaim to believe in Allah, and they did this. But my opinion of this all is that Farrakhan does this to try to show that he's part of Islam and to have like a say and like have a part of be part of like the world stage and this type of thing when it's clearly not the thing. And you know, a lot of people might only know the Nation of Islam through like Malcolm X, and even Malcolm X at the end, obviously, if you've read the biography of Malcolm X, or if, even if you've seen the movie from the 90s starring Denzel Washington, which is an incredible movie, you see how corrupted the organization is at the time, or it was at the time. I don't have any thinking to believe that it has changed. And even to the point where Malcolm X went against them, essentially, and said, look, you know, that stuff that it's all black people and this is wrong. And he understood that by being shut out by the Nation of Islam and then going to Mecca and being like, oh, well, this is what actually Muslims are like. It's not just black people, and there's other people. And, he famously said he ate with white people and everything like that. And it made him really understand what Islam is about by doing so, I believe. And, he died when they killed him. He died. I mean, I'm assuming he died as a Muslim, I would say that he did anyway. Allah knows, only knows, but it seems that way from what's apparent. But so these dudes went there, and this issue has a lot of self-reflecting little pieces that each of them wrote, or a bunch of them wrote anyway, and they are really nice. When you read them, you get the understanding or the feeling from reading that it was a very powerful trip to see the Kaaba. And from my experience, it is really powerful. When you see it, it's kind of like initially it's kind of, you can't believe it that you're seeing it, right? But for me, the thing that really made it like more surreal is the fact that this building, the Kaaba is the black cube building in the middle of Mecca. So this building, according to what Muslims believe and what the Arabs believe who came from Mecca, not saying that all the Arabs came from Mecca, but those that came from the Mecca region believe this, that the Kaaba was built by Abraham and Ishmael, right? And that's the understood belief that Ishmael helped build the Kaaba with Abraham. So it goes back, 3,000 years that you're looking at this building that's, 3,000 years old. At least, we don't really know the timeline of Abraham, but we can, I mean, it's if we're in the year 2020, according to like the Christian calendar, we can easily say it's probably, Abraham lived 1,000 years before Christ, maybe. Who knows? But for whatever, we can say it's like 3,000 years old or thereabouts. So you're looking at this building, but it's fascinating because the building is surrounded by a modern city. So it's like you're in the middle of this city that's very modern. And you can Google pictures. I mean, it has like that big clock tower skyscraper complex right next to it. And there's buildings around it and stuff, and the harem, the Masjid al-Haram, which is the mosque that the Kaaba is in the center of, is huge. I mean, it's massive, and they just expanded and made it more massive. And it's surrounded, like the floor is marble, so it's really fascinating to experience this. And when you go to the sites there and see them, it really I can't really explain it, but it is an experience, and just to think that it's like solidifies that the events that you read about in Islamic history that happened there, like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, stood right there. That when they took Mecca, and it was when they came at the end, and Mecca surrendered essentially to them, Bilal climbed on top of the Kaaba to call the adhan, or the call to prayer. So you're standing there, and you can you know, think or imagine or reflect or whatever, that he's standing right there, like you're in the same space, like physical spatial area that these people were in, you know. So if you have, like, you know, a lot of people kind of get connected or attached to things like this. So if you're like that, you like this type of thing, then, you know, when you're there, that stuff is going through your head, like, man, you know, this is where this happened. You know, this is where this happened, and so forth. So there is that. So their experiences, they meaning the delegation of the Nation of Islam, I believe was legit. I mean, I believe that this is how they felt in these writings. Like, for one, I'll just read like a sample so you can understand how it is. This one, this is by Sultan Rahman Muhammad. He's the national imam of the Nation of Islam. And he said, words cannot express the honor and the privilege to accompany the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to perform Umrah during the last 10 days of the holy month of Ramadan. It was a blessing beyond words to have the privilege to visit the two most sacred sites of Islam, the Prophet's Mosque in Medina and the Haram in Mecca, to perform Umrah during the last nights of the month of Ramadan with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Although I've been blessed to make this journey before with my father and family, to now have the enormous favor to walk in the steps of Prophet Muhammad and Master Fard Muhammad with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, these sacred sites of Allah have been unveiled. Excuse me. But so you see this, like, this is how they all wrote. Like, they always mention Louis Farrakhan. So, and even prior to Louis Farrakhan, when Malcolm X was alive, they always were saying the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, and I mean, I am under the opinion that Louis Farrakhan had Malcolm X killed. So, I mean, so, and then he took over, you know. So this is what I think. And when you see this, like, the way they speak and stuff like this, it is very, like, odd and cultish. But here, I'll read this one. This is from Mustafa Farrakhan, student supreme captain of the Nation of Islam. I'm assuming this is Louis Farrakhan's son. He kind of looks like him. I am deeply thankful and grateful to Almighty God Allah for the privilege of being given the opportunity to travel beside, I would say, to get personal, my father. Okay, it is his father. I am so grateful to Allah. See, this is now here. This next sentence is where the clear, like, deviation and, like, weirdness of the Nation of Islam happens. I am so eternally grateful to Allah and His Christ for the opportunity to rededicate my life in service of the rise of my people for their total and complete liberation. I believe that this trip to the Holy Land, as Master Fard Muhammad teaches us in our lessons, when we say we put them out, we put them out of the worst part and kept the best part preserved for ourselves ever since we made it. And the best part is in Arabia at the holy city of Mecca. It is impressive as Muslims that we find a way to the path of unity among ourselves to preserve what Allah has blessed our world of Islam to build. So it's just weird. You know, it's weird that it's clear that they're subservient to here Louis Farrakhan, and then prior to that, Fard Muhammad. So it's just bizarre, really bizarre. But like I said, this is a decent newspaper, and I mean, I can see easily reading this. If you were into promoting like the Black American experience, even though they'll say this is for everyone and everything, that's really what it is geared toward. I can easily see why you would join the Nation of Islam. So the thing though, right, the thing in the back of the final call, every single issue going back, however, whenever they started, there's two things. There's a page called the Muslim Program, and there's a part that says what Muslims want, and then what the Muslims believe, right? So here now is the thing. Here, they're saying what the Muslims believe. But really, it's what the Nation of Islam believes. It's not what the Muslims believe, right? So here's like part of the deception, right? Just by the title. So you look at this and you're like, oh, what the Muslims believe. Okay, let me read. Okay, blah, blah, blah. That must be what Islam says, but that's not the case. So it starts off, they have 12 points here. Just see the time. All right. So it starts off, like unsuspecting, like, oh, yeah. So the first one is we believe in the one God whose proper name is Allah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can get behind that. You're just, imagine you're just pick this up and you're reading this and you're like, okay, yeah. Number two, we believe in the Holy Quran and the scriptures of all the prophets of God. All right, yeah. Yep, that's pretty much straightforward, basic Islamic teaching there. We believe in the truth of the Bible, but we believe that it has been tampered with and must be reinterpreted so that mankind will not be snared by the falsehoods that have been added to it. Okay, that is like Islam theory. But we wouldn't say it's reinterpreted. This, I think, is what either Fard Muhammad or Elijah Muhammad had taught. But it's interesting because if you can easily Google this, right? In the beginning of the Nation of Islam, they didn't use the Quran and they weren't Muslims. They were more used the Bible and kind of were more using everything, and then they morphed into to this direction, right? So number four is we believe in Allah's prophets and the scriptures they brought to the people. Of course, that's no problem to believe in that. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, not in physical resurrection, but in mental resurrection. We believe that the so-called Negroes are most in need of mental resurrection, therefore we will be resurrected first. Furthermore, we believe that we are the people of God's choice, as it has been written that God would choose the rejected and the despised. We can find no other persons fitting this description in these last days more than the so-called Negroes in America. We believe in the resurrection of the righteous. So this here really goes against Islamic theology, because in Islam, the day of resurrection is a physical event, with you having a physical body. So it is another state of existence. It's not a spiritual only or a mental resurrection here. They're calling it a mental resurrection, and that's not what the definition of the resurrection of the dead is in Islam. So you can see how it's already starting to go astray here. Then number six is we believe in the judgment. We believe this first judgment will take place as God revealed in America. So I don't know where God revealed this, but here's where I meant by its targeting. not black people in general, but the African American black experience, right? We believe this is number seven. We believe this is the time in history for the separation of the so-called Negroes and the so-called white Americans. We believe the black man should be freed in name as well as in fact. By this, we mean that he should be freed from the names imposed upon him by his former slave masters, names which identified him as being the slave master's slave. We believe that if we are free, indeed, we should go in our own people's names, the black peoples of Earth. I mean, I can't say that I agree with the separation of black people and white people. We can say that there are many people that would say that, obviously. We have a ton of racism. But in America, the way our system is set up, that is actually opposite of what the system is. I mean, clearly we have isolated neighborhoods of ethnicities, but ultimately, it's supposed to be a place for everyone. But I will say something though regarding this one that I do believe in naming. And this names and lineage is a particularly fascinating thing for me that I'm really interested in. Those who know me, I mean, you know that I say my name is Issa Martel, but I had to change my name to Martel. My birth name or my dad's last name is Kabasa, and the reason, but it was only Kabasa for his generation. So my grandfather, his last name is Martel, but when they came to the U.S., his birth certificate or documentation had his last name as Kabasa hyphen Martel, because in I don't know if it was Spanish custom or Puerto Rican custom, that you put your last name as your mother's maiden name hyphen then your father's surname, right? So when he came here, they cut off his father's name, his father, and that traces your bloodline, you know. So he was called Marco Cabasa, and then my dad, his last name was then Cabasa, and then my last name was Cabasa. But it wasn't until my wife and I were researching, we were going back in, like our history and stuff, and doing like all tracing back as far as we can go. And we have it pretty mapped out pretty intensively. So, one time when we were back in Pennsylvania, we went to my grandmother and were asking her if she knew some stuff or can she fill in these places and stuff. And she told us that your name's supposed to be Martel, not Cabasa. So, knowing this, right? It blew my mind that nobody else even cared that this was an issue, right? So, like, nobody knew. I mean, apparently everyone knew, or at least when I mentioned it to my dad, and he was like, yeah, well, but, you know, like it just didn't matter to him, nor to my uncles. My dad has a bunch of brothers, none of them it mattered to. Not even really my sister, it mattered. So, I was like, this is. I don't get why this does isn't a big issue to you, but you know, some people aren't into it like that, and you know, that's what it is. But in any case, you know, I then took the last name Martel, and when I got kids, their last name is Martel, so it kind of resets this like correct naming lineage. If you even care about that, but I find it interesting that this whole thing has happened. So when it comes to the names, I fully think that it was wrong for black people to have like the white man's name when after slavery and everything like that. Also, it's interesting that just as a side note about names, and particularly this, In Islam, really, your wife doesn't take your name, like your last name. And this was a practice of coverture, which stems from back hundreds of years in like the European Western system, where when you were married, you were essentially property of the husband, so that's why you took his last name. But in Islam, that's not how the marriage system works. So Muslim women keep their father's name because a lineage is a big thing. So this is why all this stuff is in play, you know. And how many times have you seen divorced women, have to go change their name and such and such? It's really, really bizarre, a custom that we do, but. I mean, as many things, we were just adopted into this, and we think it's like the way, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, you're gonna t I take his name and blah, blah, blah. You're now Mrs. So and so. In any case, so I found that interesting, and I do agree with the naming part of that anyway. Number eight is. We believe in justice for all, whether in God or not. We believe, as others, that we are due equal justice as human beings. We believe in equality as a nation of equals. We do not believe that we are equal with our slave masters in the status of free slaves. I mean, that's a good, that's not, I mean, this stuff here isn't really Islamic. It's just what they kind of want their movement and stuff to be. And I mean, I can get behind that. We recognize and respect American citizens as independent peoples, and we respect their laws which govern this nation. So that's part of number eight. So number nine is we believe that the offer of integration is hypocritical and is made by those who are trying to deceive the black peoples into believing that their 400-year-old open enemies of freedom, justice, and equality all of a sudden they're friends. Furthermore, we believe that such deception is intended to prevent black people from realizing that the time in history has arrived for the separation from the whites of this nation. All right, whatever. I mean, leave then. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's basically what I think. If anybody has this type of thing where it's like we need to be separated, then leave. You know, what I don't really get what they think they're going to do. Like, how are they going to separate? Build like a black city? I mean, we have areas where this is come into play, and are they going to take over? I mean, it's really whatever solution I can think of doesn't fit into this like narrative that they described here. And it continues with number nine. If the white people are truthful about their professional friendship toward the so-called Negro, they can prove it by dividing up America with their slaves. We do not believe that America will ever be able to furnish enough jobs for our own millions of unemployed, in addition to the jobs for the 20 million black people as well. I mean, yeah, maybe that's true, but. You know, where are they going to get this? Are they just going to like cut a chunk of America and give it to them? That ain't going to happen. You know, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but that ain't happening. we believe this is number 10 now. We believe that we who declare ourselves to be righteous Muslims should not participate in wars which take the lives of humans. We do not believe this nation should force us to take part in such wars, for we have nothing to gain from it unless America agrees to give us the necessary territory wherein we have something to fight for. So this is like essentially what Muhammad Ali did in Vietnam. He refused to go based off of this type of idea, which I can get behind, as particularly now with the wars now. I don't really back the war effort since 9/11. Any, basically, kind of actually since Desert Storm in Desert Shield first, and then it became Desert Storm. I don't really, even that war, I was in high school when that happened. And then I was kind of gung-ho about it, you know, because I was in high school and like, yeah, man, let's go, you know. But in the time span between that and 9/11 happening, I kind of drastically changed my viewpoint. And when 9/11 happened, I was just like, this is like, you know, a joke, you know what I mean? So, but I was Muslim at that point. So for the first Gulf War, Desert Storm, I wasn't Muslim. So I held different views during high school and everything. They kind of led me to Islam in a sense. When you think about it in hindsight, how I was kind of ultimately, I was already kind of starting to follow this path, or at least search for it. And then certain events happened, which, you know, kind of opened the door for me to, you know, sit back and kind of think about things. And that was actually going to jail. So when you're in jail, you got a lot of time to read. So one thing about that, though, is they call themselves righteous Muslims there. And so they're still saying that the Muslims, and I have this issue with any Muslim saying this, that this is what the Muslims believe. And I many Muslims believe different things, unfortunately. We don't have like a consensus of all Muslims believe this. Really, the only thing all Muslims believe in general is that Allah is the one God, and that Muhammad was his prophet, and the Quran is the speech of God, you know, and that's pretty much it. And even so, like, some Muslims don't even really, there's like just Quranist Muslims too. So really, that, like, it comes down to like the Quran, you know. All Muslims agree that this is such is this, you know. After that, the Muslims disagree with a lot of different things. So I have a problem. And so anyone that says, no matter if this is Nation of Islam in America, but if you have like the different sects of Islam, you know, saying different things, when you say that this is what the Muslims believe, I feel that's just a lie. And I think it's better to say this is what the Nation of Islam believes. But if they say that, then they're not like duping the people into thinking that they're Muslims, you know. They're essentially like saying they're something else. But as I'm about to read, right, we're going to see the main. So all this stuff up until now, you can kind of be like, all right, yeah, you know, that's good. That's good, right? So number 11, real quick, we believe our women should be respected and protected as the women of other nationalities are respected and protected. Yes, of course. That's whatever. But really, like, you know, like when you think about it, the women, the people that be treating the women bad are their own men. So, you know, that's how it is. But here is the one. Here is what it completely knocks them out of being Muslim. And maybe the average everyday Muslims don't read this, what the Muslims believe. I don't. In fact, I believe that most of them don't believe this, and I think they just put this in the newspaper to kind of cover themselves and like being like, see, it says right here, you know, you should have known that or whatever. We're upfront about it, but they're not really upfront about it because they don't say this number 12, right? Which is, we believe that Allah, God, appeared in the person of Master W. Fard Muhammad, July 1930, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Mahdi of the Muslims. We believe further and lastly that Allah is God, and besides him there is no God, and he will bring about a universal government of peace where we all can live in peace together. So there it is. They believe that Allah appeared in the person of Master, I'm not even call him Master, but I guess that's his title, W. Fard Muhammad, in 1930. This wasn't like in, you know, 1430 or 930 or something. This was in 1930 that this happened. and that he was the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Mahdi of the Muslims. So Islamically, these aren't even the same people, right? And even Christian-wise, you know, you would, if this was the Messiah in Islam and in Christianity is Jesus. That's the Messiah. Islam believes that Jesus will come back. I mean, that's a thing. Like, we don't believe Jesus died. We believe that, or majority of the Muslims believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and will return to basically finish his mission or whatever, and then he'll die like all the other prophets died on earth. So they're saying that Fard Muhammad was the Messiah, who the Messiah of the Christians, but the Messiah of the Christians is Jesus, right? And he's the Mahdi of the Muslims. So in Islam, the Mahdi and the Messiah are two different people. The Messiah is Jesus. The Mahdi, we don't know what his name is going to be, but he is the person that comes and leads the Muslims before Prophet Jesus comes back, right? So that's like the main thing. That, I mean, in Islam, during this time period when Mahdi comes, it's going to be crazy, right? Because one, there will once again be an Islamic state, not like ISIS Islamic state, like a caliphate, like a back, like one from back in according to the Islamic prophecy, it will be back like the original caliphate from Prophet Muhammad and the first three generations, you know, up until Ali was killed, right? It will be like that group, right? So that's what will be happening. So we don't have that now. So the prophecy that I'm speaking of that says that Prophet Muhammad said that there would first be his caliphate, like, or the it, that's upon his sunnah. And we had that in the beginning, right? Then he said there will be, I'm just going off my head. So then he said there will be a time of kings and that. And we had that then, the switch to the sultans, right? And that type of thing. Then he said there will be a time of, I believe it's like tyranny and oppression leadership, which we're in now with the Muslim countries, right? It's clear that this is the stage we're in because the king and sultan part ended with the fall of the Ottoman Empire, right? That ended that period that was talked about. So the next period, which when England broke in the UN or whomever broke up the Ottoman kingdom and made it into fake countries and installed rulers into it. Now that opened the door for the oppression and the tyranny and all this stuff that is happening in the Middle East in the past 100 years. This is a direct cause of the Ottoman Empire collapsing. And you can say that maybe, you know, it was bound to collapse or whatever, and it had been slowly going down and all this and whatnot, but the hard fact is that there's not a leader of the Muslims now, and the Muslim world is completely split apart and cut up. And from my belief, this is why we're continuing to go into the Middle East, is to keep it separated, because if the Middle East, if the Middle East, Turkey, right, to Iran, down Jordan, I mean Palestine, but Palestine's continually being tore up, you know, we have this. If these countries united again, back together, that would be like a massive Syria, right? Imagine if like Syria, Turkey, Iran, I mean, it'd be kind of iffy if Iran, you know, allied up, but just imagine if they did, you know, they would have a massive superpower in the Middle East, and it would be a massive threat to the other superpower now. I mean, we have the U.S. is the last mega superpower. I guess we can still have China and Russia, but they're not in the league of the US, you know, but you'd have this another thing happen, right? And, you know, I don't believe that the European Christians want this, you know, so because Europe was like surrounded by Muslims, and, you know, they think that it's like, they're, you know, they think that the immigrants now are doing this slick takeover, you know, instead of fighting them, it's like, well, we'll just come in and be part of the society and take it over that way. Maybe that's the case, but you know what? It is what it is, you know. So, but anyway, so the Mahdi would be leading the Muslims at this time. So after the tyranny, so the prophecy goes after the tyranny and the oppression, the Muslims will reform into a caliphate that was upon the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, meaning that it will return back to the original, like, way of the caliphate, right? So we know for Mahdi to appear, that would have to have happened, and it hasn't happened. So, and when Mahdi also appears, it will be like we would be fighting. There's tons of prophecies where the Muslims and the Jews, or the Muslims and the Christians, are allied to fight a common enemy. The Antichrist appeared, you know, all this type of stuff. And the actual prophecy where Mahdi and Jesus are together is that the Mahdi is about to lead prayer, and Jesus returns during this, right? And Mahdi turns the prayer over to Jesus, but I believe, I didn't research this. I'm just like going off of memory here. I did research it years ago, but prior to this, I didn't do prep. I'm just going off, this part is off the top of my head. But Jesus tells Mahdi that the prayer was called for him to lead it. So Jesus prays behind Mahdi, you know. And then after that, Jesus basically leads part of the army anyway, and they go and fight in Jerusalem, and he kills the Antichrist at a specific gate in Jerusalem. And all this stuff, if you Google this stuff, like how Jesus kills the Antichrist in Islam, it's fascinating. You'll go down a big rabbit hole because it's very well documented, like specifically the gate where it's at. And right now I believe like the airport is there, and the gate into the city is like sealed up, you know? So all this like craziness is like, you know, where this is going to happen, which, you know, makes Islam to me a much more fascinating thing than Christianity, because of these prophecies that have been happening like throughout the past 1400 years. It's always like, okay, well, what was the next prophecy that happened? Like, nothing has not happened, you know, or nothing. There were no false prophecies. Everything has happened so far. And, you know, we're just continuing to go in this direction. So in any case, they believe this. W. Fard Muhammad in July 1930 was the Messiah and the Mahdi, and he also had God. He was God, or God appeared in the person. So it's this wishy-washy language, but in any case, this sentence right here, God appeared in the person of Master W. Fard Muhammad, negates your Islam. That's it. You're if you believe this, then you're not believing in Allah, and how, right? Okay. How can you say, in number one, we believe in the one God whose proper name is Allah? I guess they don't define it, so they can't really, they don't define what the one God is. So I guess later on in number 12, they can then say that God appeared in the person. I don't either get I don't get what in the person is, like as the person or in the person. And Google Fard Muhammad too, man. He's like a shady character. I think he's like he's half white too. That's the thing about him. He's like half white, and he ha it, this whole thing is just bizarre, you know. Any case, man, I ranted a bunch, right? But I'll just end it here. That's it, man. Nation of Islam, you know, don't believe the hype that they are Sunni Muslims, because, you know, believing that, you ain't. But I don't want to say they're not Muslim. You know, ultimately, that is up to Allah to say if you're a Muslim or not, and how you practice. Like I said, I believe probably most of the people are genuinely sincere and are caught up in this thing. And, you know, maybe they don't even really pay much attention to that, and they just do this other stuff. So I don't know. It is what it is. We'll just cut it off there. Till next time. Peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullah. Have a good one.